Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Kunja Gopijana Vallabha Giribhada Dhanudri. Gopijana Vallabha Giribhada Dhanudri. Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yasoda Rapana Chalte Yamana Te Rapana Chalte Vayu Radu Madhava Punya Vihari. Jaya Radhu Madhuva Punya Vihari. Jaya Radhu Madhuva Punya Vihari. Bijana Pallava Giri Padadari Gopi Jana Pallava Giri Padadari. Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tirabana Chalde Yamuna Te Ravana Jalte Jai Urad Omaruva Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhuva Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramacharya also Tedas Shi Shima. His divine grace Abhaya Chalana the Bhaktivananda Goswami Maharishila Prabhupada Stan Bhaktivacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindavan Jai. Brim, say, Kaho Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Shidwaita Garata, Shivasadi Gaur, Bhakta Vrinda Gijai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopagavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavadam Kijai, Mathura Kijai, Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Manamaya Kijai, Shrimati Tulasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijai. Go, Brihadananda. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shilapumpad Ki Jai. So, Omagana Timidanda Shaganjana, Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiritam, Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace. Can you leave the lights on? Oh. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Well, it's good to know about it now. While we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So just, I guess, leave the AV room off if there's a... Okay, so I guess we got too many things on one circuit. Anyway, so much for that. So we don't need that sort of power. We need Krishna's power. So, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're reading from Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and as I mentioned before, we're up to the 17th text in the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter is entitled Sankhya Yoga, but actually it's more about Hatha Yoga. And the interesting thing is, it's about, I would say if I had to summarize the sixth chapter, it's about telling Arjuna it's impractical to perform Hatha Yoga. That's the main message. And then at the end of the chapter, we have protest of Arjuna, where he's saying that it's very difficult to control the mind, and Krishna's assuring him it's practical with constant practice and detachment. But anyway, we're on a very interesting portion of the sixth chapter right now. The 16th verse, which we read yesterday, is quite interesting. I want to go over that again since many of you were not watching it yesterday. And the 16th verse is as follows. There is no possibility of one's becoming a yogi, O Arjuna, if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much, or does not sleep enough. Those of you who are watching me online will just hear the same thing I spoke about yesterday, but I think it's a really important message. And let me read Prabhupada's purport again. Regulation of diet and sleep. Hold on a second. Regulation of diet and sleep is recommended for an herein for the yogis. Too much eating means eating more than is required to keep the body and soul together. There's no need for men to eat animals because there's ample supply of grains, vegetables, fruits, and milk. Such simple foodstuff is considered to be in the mode of goodness according to the Bhagavad Gita. Animal food is for those in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, those who indulge in animal food, drinking, smoking, and eating food which is not first offered to Krishna will suffer sinful reactions because of eating only polluted things. Munjate tve tugam papa ye pachant yatmakaranat. Anyone who eats for sense pleasure or cooks for himself, not offering his food to Krishna, eats only sin. One who eats sin, this one thing. Hold on a second. I want to record this. Okay, got it. One who eats sin and eats more than is allotted to him cannot execute perfect yoga. It is best that one eat only the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. A person in Krishna consciousness does not eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. Therefore, only the Krishna conscious person can attain perfection in yoga practice. Nor can one who artificially abstains from eating manufacture in his own personal process of fasting practice yoga. The Krishna conscious person observes fasting as it is recommended in the scriptures. He does not fast or eat more than is required, and he is thus competent to perform yoga practice. One who eats more than required will dream very much while sleeping, and he must consequently sleep more than is required. One should not sleep more than 6 hours daily. One who sleeps more than 6 hours out of 24 is certainly influenced by the mode of ignorance. That's a heavy statement. A person in the mode of ignorance is lazy and prone to sleep a great deal. Such a person cannot perform yoga. And the next text actually is a companion text to this. That's why I wanted to read text 16 first. Yukta hara vahara sha yukta chetasa karmaso yukta swapna vabodha sha yoga bhavati dukha ha. And the translation, word by word translation is, yukta regulated ahara eating, viharasya recreation, yukta regulated chetasa, one who works for maintenance, karma su. In discharging duties, yukta regulated swapna avabodhasya, sleep and wakefulness, yogaha, practice of yoga, bhavati becomes, dukaha, diminishing pains. He was regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all pains, all material pains, by practicing the yoga system. And then Prabhupada comments that extravagance in the matter of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, which are demands of the body, can block advancement in the practice of yoga. As far as eating is concerned, it can be regulated only when one is practiced to take and accept prasadam, sanctified food. Lord Krishna is offered, according to the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 26, vegetables, flowers, fruits, grains, milk, etc. In this way, a person in Krishna consciousness becomes automatically trained not to accept food not meant for human consumption or not in the category of goodness. As far as sleeping is concerned, a Krishna conscious person is always alert in the discharge of his duties in Krishna consciousness, and therefore any unnecessary time spent sleeping is considered a great loss. Avyata kalatva, that's from the Chaitanya Madhyalila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 23rd chapter, texts 18 to 19. A Krishna conscious person cannot bear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, his sleeping is kept to a minimum. His ideal in this respect is Srila Rupa Goswami, who was always engaged in the service of Krishna and who could not sleep more than 2 hours a day, and sometimes not even that. Haridas Thakur would not even accept prasadam or even sleep for a moment without finishing his daily routine of chanting with his beads 300,000 names. As far as work is concerned, a Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not connected with Krishna's interest, and thus his work is always regulated and is untainted by sense gratification. Since there is no question of sense gratification, there is no material leisure for a person in Krishna consciousness. And because he is regulated in all his work, speech, sleep, wakefulness, and all other bodily activities, there is no material misery for him. So I want to talk about this because sometimes when a devotee hears these different statements by Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita, one can become a little frightened. Like one thing that frightened me in the beginning, actually it still frightens me, is Prabhupada says that anyone who sleeps more than 6 hours a day is in the mode of ignorance. Now, let me try to unpack that. The essence of what Prabhupada is saying is that one shouldn't sleep more than necessary. Because at many times, Prabhupada did give people the instructions to sleep more than 6 hours, particularly if they were driving a car after the devotees had some unfortunate accidents. In other words, devotees died. So Prabhupada said anyone who's driving a car should sleep 8 hours a night. So it's very interesting. So what to do with this instruction that appears to be something that Prabhupada contradicts? We have to understand that Prabhupada is essentially saying that you have to be, as Krishna is saying here, yukta hara viharasya, to be moderate in everything you do and not accept any more than necessary to keep the body and soul together. And this is very much in line with Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, which Prabhupada translated as the nectar of devotion, the nectar of instruction, in which he said, Atyahara prayasas cha pajalpa niyamagraha, janasangas tilayam cha sadvir bhakti vanashyati. That one loses his devotional service if one collects too much, eats too much, over-endeavors for mundane things, and engages in devotional service in a robotic way, as Drishta Prabhu was mentioned in class this morning. That means just doing your service on automatic without thinking of why you're doing what you're doing, or not following the rules and regulations. Anyway, Rupa Goswami gives all these different paths for deviation from Krishna consciousness. And so this Prabhupada's instruction has to be understood in that light, that if you accept too much, it becomes entangling, or of course, too much sleep. You become lethargic, too little sleep. Prabhupada doesn't mention it right here, but it's also mentioned by Krishna, Mityahara Viharasya. Too little sleep and you become stupid. Because Prabhupada elsewhere says that intelligence is a function of sleep. In other words, if you don't get enough sleep, your mind is not going to work properly. So the whole principle is that each and every individual has a moderate amount of eating, sleeping, and other activities that are different. The amount is different from everybody else. In other words, I may be happy eating a bowl of quinoa. Does anyone know what quinoa is? No, nobody knows what quinoa is. I mean, for example, this afternoon, that was basically my dinner, quinoa and sauerkraut. So if I say to all of you, that's all you're going to get to eat today, quinoa and sauerkraut, you'll think, I have to find another religion. If I say this is essential. So my standard of whatever I'm doing, renunciation, eating, whatever I need as far as sleeping, is different than your standard. So you have to determine what is the middle path. In fact, that middle path was even, or the concept of the middle path was even brought out by Lord Buddha. And I told the story about that online yesterday. That here's the story in a nutshell. Lord Buddha was brought up in a very, very rich family. He was Prince Siddhartha. And his family, at least his father, heard that a astrologer had predicted that when your son grows up, he's going to give up everything. And the father didn't like that very much. Just like many times when someone joins the Krishna consciousness movement, the father doesn't like it very much. Or the relatives don't like it very much. I remember in my case, of course, it wasn't predicted in my horoscope. But in my case, my father didn't like it very much, and he called for a psychiatrist to determine if I was legally sane. So I went over to his house, my father's house, and I got introduced to his friend, Dr. Freud. That wasn't his name. But anyway, you get the idea. I got introduced to this doctor, and my father said, oh, here's my friend. I'd like you to meet him. And he said, hello, Mr. Freud, Dr. Freud. And then suddenly my father disappeared for about 2 hours. Where are you going? I'll be right back. And then Dr. Freud said to me, he said, basically, are you happy? And then I just said, yes, but are you happy? So that was the end of that discussion. And he didn't know whether he had his head screwed on right by the time he was finished with me. So in any case, you find the parents get really upset. Sometimes even people from India, they're Krishna conscious, but if their children want to become Krishna conscious, ooh, no way. That's for old people. And of course, Prahlad Maharaj says what? Koma ra acharet pragyo dharmam bhagavatam iha. That Krishna consciousness is meant for everybody. And it's better you take it up when you're young, because as Prabhupada said, forgive me, it's difficult to teach an old dog new tricks. So it's not impossible. Prabhupada didn't say impossible. So anyway, so Lord Buddha, getting back to Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha's father was very much against Lord Buddha joining the Hare Krishna movement or taking up spiritual life or something like that. So what he did is he made sure that all the old, sick, any sort of person who wasn't extremely beautiful would be kicked out of the, maybe not the kingdom, but around the surroundings of the castle. So Lord Buddha was living a very charmed life. Never saw a sick person, never saw an old person, you know, really old person. Never saw a dead body his whole life. Actually, that's like my youth. I never saw any of those things. My parents protected me. So anyway, so he never saw any of those things. And one day he was riding on his chariot and he happened to go beyond the outskirts of the castle. And then he saw basically a sick person, an old person, and a dead body. And he asked his driver, you know, what's that? And the driver said, that's an old person, that's a sick person, that's a dead body. And he said, well, I'd be like that? And the driver said, sure thing. And so Buddha said, I'm out of here. I got to find a solution for these things. So to make a long story short, he engaged in very severe austerities. And practically, he left his body almost at that point, and it's described that some lady came up to him with some Mahaprasadam from the deities here. I know. Some sweet rice or something like that. He took it, and then he realized, huh, that's not the answer. The answer is, you know, mityahara viharasya, the middle path, not eating too much, not eating too little, not sleeping too much, not sleeping too little. Because one who is Krishna conscious realizes that he's not the body. I mean, it's the first lesson in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Dehino smenyata dehe komaram jyavanam jaratata dehankaras praptir dhirastatra namuyati. The soul is passing from one body to another. And the body is what? A yantra. Yantra means machine. Krishna says in the Gita, yantra rudani maya, that we are seated on this machine of the material energy, and Krishna is in everyone's heart. So, therefore, we have to take care of the machine, but not overly take care of the machine. That's the real point, because the machine belongs to Krishna. Just like this computer here, it's not the be-all and end-all of my life, maybe. It's not... Anyway, it's not the be-all and end-all of my life. It's a computer, and I take care of it nicely. I protect it, make sure no one steals it. I have an antivirus in it, just like you're all wearing masks, except for me. I'm the only atheist here. Anyway, so I have an antivirus. I take care of it because it's Krishna's. Like one time, Prabhupada was in a car, and devotee driving it was driving him, and Prabhupada wiped his hand across the dashboard. And it was dirty. Prabhupada said, who do you think this car belongs to? And I think the driver said, it's my car. And Prabhupada said, no, it's Krishna's car. So everything belongs to Krishna. Isha Vasham Idam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagajam Jagat. So one takes care of the body in that light. Doesn't neglect it, but doesn't pamper it or give it too much. Just like in a car, I used that example yesterday, that when you're putting petrol or gas or diesel into your car, you don't overfill the tank. If you overfill the tank, you can get an explosion, especially if you're smoking a cigarette at the same time. It's very bad. You just put enough fuel as necessary. So, therefore, it's up to each and every person to determine how much sleep they need, how little sleep they need, how much food they need. Prabhupada said, if one can work like an elephant, they can eat like an elephant. So, anyone want to work a lot on the property? Then we'll feed you all day long. And if you work like an ant, then you'd eat like an ant. You eat sparingly. And Prabhupada, in the early days when Prabhupada was going out and doing so much preaching, Prabhupada could eat like 5, 6, or even 7 chapatis at one time. That's a lot. Of course, there was one guy that Prabhupada was feeding. I think it was Bhakta Stanley or something like that in the early days. He could eat 23 chapatis. That's a lot. And Prabhupada also insisted that when someone first joined the Krishna consciousness movement, that they eat so much that it fills them up to the neck, basically. And I follow that instruction very strictly. More strictly than I follow, I think, any other instruction. Because there's a reason for it. So in other words, you have to have intelligence when applying these particular instructions. The reason for eating a lot when you first join is just like you've got to get purified. Of course, another purification we had when I first joined the movement was the chili peppers and things like that. They really purified you. You know, we used to actually have stomach problems and have to go to the bathroom a lot and said, boy, we're really getting purified here. So we have to be careful not to use the word purification in relationship to everything that happens to you that's unpleasant. I remember in the early days, of course, I was traveling. I wasn't a sannyasi, traveling with a brahmachari. And he would chastise me sometimes and say, you're really getting purified now. And I was thinking, I don't want to get purified, is what I mean. So, in other words, see what you need. That's all. It's a very simple thing. You know, you can test yourself. You know, your douche is sleeping, and if it comes to the point that you're groggy during the day, you're tripping over your feet, you're running into other cars, hopefully it doesn't get to that point, then sleep more. And if it gets to the point that you're dreaming too much and you're lazy, then sleep less. And you can do the same thing with eating. You know, in my life, I always experiment with food to see what I need, what I don't need, keeping the health together. That is an important point. So this is an important instruction in applying what Prabhupada is talking about. And then we hear about these great devotees who are sleeping or resting. Great devotees don't sleep. Resting 2 hours a day. Or we see Prabhupada waking up at 1 a.m. to write his books. Or even Raghunath Das Goswami, talk about 2 hours a day, he rested some days for an hour and a half, and some days zero. And then he would take a little bit of buttermilk or a few pats of butter or something every few days to maintain himself. Or when he was in Jagannath Puri, he would take the rejected rice that even the cows wouldn't touch. And so we hear this and it just horrifies us in one sense. You know, just like when I joined the movement, another story about my own experience in the movement. When I saw some devotees eating very little and it was described that these devotees were very advanced, I actually prayed to Krishna I wouldn't become advanced in devotional service. Because it was horrifying. But the reason that these personalities can do this is because their bodies are completely spiritualized. It's different. Our bodies, first of all, very few of us, maybe I'm making a mistake with some of you, are Shaktivesh avatars. Or I think even less of you are Vishnu Tattva. Is there any Vishnu Tattva here? Please raise your hand. Shaktivesh Avatar is a jiva soul sent down with a spiritual body, like Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami. These are all people who are fully cognizant of their spiritual identity. At the same time, they're cognizant of what they're doing in this material world. So they are able to do amazing things. They're able to get by in very little sleep. They're able to, some of them, not eat at all. And it's just amazing. So don't compare yourselves to them, and don't get discouraged. Because what Krishna wants is for you to give everything to him, and your everything, you all know that story from the Ramayana of Hanuman and the spider. Hanuman, of course, he could do amazing things. He could leap, it's described in the Ramayana, it was 800 miles to Lanka. If you go by yojanas, 80 yojanas, he could leap 800 miles. Actually, he leapt more than that. Because when he was in Lanka, and he had to get the Richard Sanjeevani from the Himalayas, they had to travel thousands of miles to the Himalayas. So there's Hanuman helping Lord Ram build the bridge to Lanka, right? And so he's building the bridge to Lanka, and then all of a sudden a little spider is kicking some dust. And Hanuman says, "You stupid spider," something like that. "Get out of my way. I'm doing the Lord's service." And then Lord Ram says, "You get out of his way. He's doing as much service as you." So all Krishna wants is surrendering everything. So what is that's also pretty frightening, isn't it? Okay, so let's get into surrendering everything. Surrendering everything doesn't mean you show up at the door of the temple with a bald head. I don't have a choice. But anyway, you show up at the door of the temple with a bald head and you just like turn over all your bank accounts with the Krishna conscious movement. No, surrendering everything is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has these six surrendering principles, which Krishna Prabhu actually talked about this morning, which I often talk about too. And the first one is accepting things favorable for Krishna consciousness. And that also fits in with this sleeping and eating and collecting and everything like that. People need different situations to be, because what does it mean to be favorable in Krishna consciousness? It means to be stable. Like Prabhupada talks in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about Gajendra the elephant. And Gajendra the elephant is fighting a crocodile in the water. And Prabhupada comments that because Gajendra the elephant was not in his natural environment, he was losing. Of course, until he cried out to Krishna, then he won. But that's another subject matter. But he was losing. And Prabhupada said, in order to execute Krishna consciousness, one has to be in the proper varna and ashram. In other words, your occupational duty and also your status as far as married or single, or renounced, like that, because Krishna consciousness means a slow and steady progress, not jumping like the proverbial rabbit in the story of the rabbit, right? The rabbit and the tortoise. I'm not saying we should be like tortoises. That's a little too slow for me. But the tortoise, he won the race, you know, slow and steady, so to speak. So accepting everything favorable, I'm just unpacking that statement. Accepting everything favorable means we need to know what situation our physical and mental bodies need to be in to be steady in Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, mentions that each and every one of us, and this is in line with accepting and rejecting things, everyone has spiritual and material needs. I often talk about this as a hierarchy or a pyramid of needs. For example, if I were to cut off the air here, which I can't do, then none of you would be able to execute Krishna consciousness if you couldn't breathe anymore, if you had the coronavirus, for example. Of course, we should pray very much for my dear God brother Bhakti Churu Maharaj, who's now recovering from the coronavirus. So you need air, you need food, you need water, you need friendship, you need recreation. Like even here, Prabhupada says, There's no material leisure or leisure, different ways of pronouncing it, for a person in Krishna consciousness. Does that mean a devotee doesn't exercise or engage in any sort of sport? I mean, look at Lord Chaitanya's example. When he went to the Gundicha temple, we talked about this before. When he went to the Gundicha temple, he was engaged in playful activities in the Narendra Sarovara, a lake, there with his disciples, and actually fighting him. And I remember one example in ISKCON, there was one sannyasi who was just feeling a little bit too frisky. He was feeling too frisky, and he has probably, you know, a lot of extra energy, which is not good for a sannyasi, because it may come out and beating up the poor brahmacharis. So he was feeling a little frisky. So he asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, you know, go play some sports. So immediately he went to the basketball court and played some basketball. I'm not suggesting that for any of you to play basketball. But, you know, I go swimming every day by the mercy of the neighbors. So what it means is that one needs recreation. But beyond that, it's material. In other words, keeping the body and the soul together is part of accepting everything favorable for Krishna consciousness. Keeping yourself stable in Krishna consciousness year after year. That's one of the reasons I may still be here. I'm not sure if I'm still here. But it's one of the reasons I'm here is because I recognize what I need. Some people, they can sleep on the floor and be happy. I tried that when I was a brahmachari. Actually, one time it was nice. I was at Govardhan at this time of the year when it was 120 degrees. And sleeping on the concrete floor was blissful because it kept me cool. But anyway, that's another subject matter. But some people, that you know, they have this thing, oh, sleep on the floor. Beds are Maya. So they'll go to... let's say someone new will come to the Krishna consciousness movement and they'll say, dear Susie, you know, whatever the girl's name is, you sleep on the floor. Toilet paper is Maya. I mean, I had one instance, I was in Australia one time. Sorry for the jokes, it's my nature. But anyway, I was in Australia one time in an airplane. And this guy walks in and he sees me, he's half drunk or fully drunk. I don't know what half drunk is, but anyway, he's fully drunk and he comes in and he says, oh, Hare Krishna, I love your food. It's delicious. But why don't you use toilet paper? Why do you use your hands? And half the plane evacuated at that time, at least around me. So the point is, really getting back to the point of accepting everything favorable and rejecting everything unfavorable, that's different with each person. It's different. You know, some people may need the proverbial, what is that, princess in the pea bed? You know, 10 mattresses. Anyway, 100 mattresses. Some people can sleep on the floor and be happy. And some people may need a more comfortable situation. I remember when I joined the movement, I was in a room with 35 other guys and we shared each other's clothes. I can't do that now. Especially since the socks never matched, because you just had a big bin and everybody would pick, and you never got a matching set of socks. It was impossible because they were like 500 socks in the bin. And, you know, at that age, I could do it. And this age, I can't do it. It's practical. You know, at that age, I could eat so many bowls of sweet rice. And at this age, I can eat so many bowls of quinoa. So in other words, accepting everything favorable means, in a very broad sense, to keep you steady on the path of devotional service, throughout this whole lifetime. And if you could stay in Krishna consciousness for your whole lifetime, chanting a prescribed number of rounds, following the regulative principles, that's amazing in this day and age. It's amazing. I mean, all power to you. Prabhupada said you go back to home, back to Godhead. So this we're talking about what it means to surrender in terms of these verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. Then understand the Lord is always protecting you. So why are you all wearing masks? And no, tuck your mask back on, you rascals. Anyway, so the reason you're wearing masks is the Lord has protected you by giving you the masks. You think Krishna's going to come with the six guns like Wyatt Earp or, you know, and protect you, you know? Krishna's going to come with a vaccine tomorrow or something? No. I mean, there's that story, of course. I don't want to tell that whole story where this guy was thinking that Krishna, God, was going to protect him, and he ignored the people trying to save him from a flood. And finally, he died, and he, you know, because they were coming with a helicopter, with a boat to save him, and he died drowning. And then he accused God of not saving him, and God said, "You stupid idiot! Didn't you see the boat and the helicopter I sent for you?" You know, so that's what it means. Not that you take Krishna as your servant. You actually say, you know, Krishna, you're protecting me. So you've given me this brain, this intelligence, this ability, the facility. And so those are the things that are protecting me. And in spite of trying doing all that, if it doesn't work, you know, that was Krishna's desire. Because it said, even in spite of the best doctor, best medicine, everything like that, the patient, you know, that's Krishna. And sometimes in spite of no doctor, no medicine, the patient lives. That's Krishna. But it's up to us. There's five factors of action, according to the Gita. It's up to us to actually utilize things that God sends to protect us. So there's protecting. God maintains us. In other words, he's given us a job. Or he's given us a stimulus check. Let's say. Donald Trump has not given you the stimulus Trump check. It's coming from God. So anyway, you see, God has given you it because he's maintaining all the living entities. But still, you have to endeavor. It's not that you just like sit there all day long and wait for the food to march into your mouth. I mean, if you're on a special platform in the Bhagavatam, there's this Avadhuta Brahman who was just lying there like a python on the road. And he was a little overweight too. So he was asked by Vladimir, you know, what are you doing? And he said, you know, sometimes I live in a castle, sometimes I live in the street, you know. That's not for us. Man proposes, God disposes. So we have to endeavor for our own protection, our own maintenance, but understanding ultimately, it's coming from Krishna and belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. And then the final two, of course, the hardest one is the last one, one that I haven't tried yet. But the number five is to have no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord. And so that's really easy. That means one has to know what the interest of the Lord is, and that's why you need guidance, spiritual masters, siksha, and diksha gurus to tell you what Krishna wants. Like Prabhupada would say to certain people, you should get married. Other people, you should take sannyas. So that's individual instruction coming from the manifest representative of Krishna, manifest representative of the super soul, the spiritual master, and the great Vaishnavas. So that's what it means to have no separate interests. To know and to focus, as Krishna says in the second chapter of the Gita, Ekeha Kurunandana, being focused and one-pointed on following the directions, encouragement, etc. And then the final one, which I don't have much realization about, is being meek and humble. Don't know anything about that. But anyway, Lord Chaitanya says, I'll just repeat Lord Chaitanya's words, that Lord Chaitanya says that Trinadapi Sunichena Turari Vasihishna Manina Manadena Kirtiniyasadari. Not expecting any respect. We all want some respect, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. And giving service, ready to render all respect, which means serving others. Being ready to do anything, not considering, I'll tell you a big way to become humble, even though I have no realization. A big way, or a very good process, is that we have a conception of ourselves, an overinflated conception of ourselves. That means we think that we're very intelligent, particularly those of us who went to a university, those of us who have some skills, those who have some position, those who have some beauty or handsomeness, you know, Janmaishvarya, Shudasya, Shibir, those of us who come from a good Gotra, you know, in India, you know, for Sharma or Trivedi or whatever. But then being ready to get our hands dirty serving Krishna. You know, that was one of the lessons I learned when I joined the movement, that I had never in my life made a bed. Well, one time. Or cleaned the floor properly. And then, or cleaned the toilet. Oh my God. Not me. You know, I'm an intellectual. And so you learn that by doing that, getting your hands dirty, being ready to do anything that Krishna wants. It's like, you know, sometimes we have a tractor here now. I'll get on the tractor and do some work. And people are amazed. Oh, it's a sannyasi on the tractor. How did that happen? And Krishna in the Gita says that sannyasi doesn't mean he who does no work nor lights no fire. There's that material conception of a sannyasi. Like I was just listening to a memory of some devotee who was a sannyasi. And he was saying how Prabhupada sent him out to get money. And he was thinking, I'm a sannyasi. The Prabhupada sent him out to get money to build his temples in India. So, you know, so we destroy the conception, the overinflated or inflated or overinflated conception that we have of ourselves by doing something practically. That's how you can cultivate humility. Not just simply by thinking, you know, I'm humble, lower than the straw in the street. So you take a straw and you put it in your mouth. And you think you're humbled, but actually doing something practical, being ready to serve Krishna in any way that he wants you to serve him. Anyway, and so these are the surrendering principles, and if we apply them in regard to this Michahara Vihara Sha, we'll understand how much we need as far as material amenities, including food, shelter, sleep, or anything like that. So I guess that's the class. Whoops, spoke a long time. So anyone have any questions? We'll take the online questions later. So in-person questions, yes.
Maharaj, thank you very much for the class. You made some very nice points. In the beginning, you were discussing Hatha Yoga. There's a very, very interesting sentence in the 15th chapter.
Yeah.
25. And the third portion of Prabhupada says, similarly, there are others who also try to understand the Supreme Soul by cultivation of knowledge, and there are others who cultivate the Hatha Yoga system. We try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by childish activities.
So, what's your question? No, elsewhere, no. Let me explain what goes on in this. Let me just take my screen sharing off so they can see my smiling face. Okay, so. So elsewhere in the Gita, in the sixth chapter, Prabhupada talks about the yoga ladder, that there's different types of yoga. There's the Ashtanga yoga system. There's the Dhyana yoga system. Prabhupada generally just talks about those two, and of course the Bhakti yoga system. And Prabhupada talks about them in terms of being steps or rungs on the yoga ladder. Whoops. I guess we're losing some people. Prabhupada talks about them being steps or rungs on the yoga ladder. And the point is that Prabhupada, in that particular verse, he's making reference to so-called yogis who cheat in the name of yoga. And Prabhupada talks about that in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So you have to understand the context. I mean, Prabhupada was not against the yoga system, the Hatha yoga system, but he said it's impossible or difficult for people to perform in this age of Kali. And you'll find in most cases, this Hatha yoga system is improperly presented to enable the presenter to make money or to engage in nefarious activities. I remember, not to criticize anyone in particular, but there's so many yoga schools and yoga groups that are improperly presenting yoga. But Krishna in the Gita, he actually, it's not bogus, because Krishna in the sixth chapter of the Gita presents the yoga system. Well, yes. You're in disguise. I hardly recognize you. Okay, this is good. I mean, it's actually, it makes it interesting just to see eyes. Right. Yeah, Anga Sharanagati, right. Thank you. So, humility. Yes, I am extremely humble. So I just proved you wrong. I am so humble it surprises me sometimes. It's just wow. That's why I'm having her film me, so I could just watch this film all night tonight. So, another question? Gopi. Maybe when you people speak, they can pull the mask off at that time. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Very nice. That's very nice. Thank you for that quote. Anybody else here before we take the questions online? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say just be practical, and I'm not saying 6 hours. I was making the point that some people need 8 hours. Some people may need 9 or 10. It depends on the state of the body, your age. Children in particular need more. You know what you need. See, I usually take the tact of trusting people and saying, you know what you need. I present the theory and the understanding and the principles, and then people do know what they need. Because if you impose upon people, you're not going to get it right. Yeah. Yeah, so just be practical. I mean, you know yourself, or move to Australia, then you can, then it would work out really well for you. Yeah. So just be practical. I mean, it's people ask different questions. I mean, I had a question last night about household life and the relationship between a husband and wife, and I said, it's not my business. I got other business, I'm a sannyasi. I'm happy if people chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulated principles. I mean, to me, that's unusual, ecstatic, wonderful, accept Krishna. That's, so other than that, I'm not going to tell people what to do except for Bhakta Steve here. But he's a brahmachari. Are you?
I'm here for emotional sense, yes.
So he's in training. Sometimes when young people come to the temple, we do actually, train them up in different ways. I'm not mean. Anyway, see if anyone has questions online. Is anyone online have a question? No, no one's asking questions.
I will have a question.
Two people. No question, we got several people.
Hi, Krishna Gurudev. Yeah, I have a question, Gurudev.
Hi, Bal, I'll give you an entire link. Everybody knows. So ask a question. Everybody's listening.
So it's showing that your bandwidth is low and the sound is getting broke. Kind of not clear.
Well, it's not clear?
Yeah, sound is not clear. Anyways, if you can hear me, can you hear me then?
I can hear you.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Really, my question is, there are 3 levels. It's based on Sharanagati, like the surrender platform. So we are reading, like, there are levels of Sharanagati from Shivas Thakur, who was like, he used to clap 3 times, and then if the food doesn't come, he used to jump. He said that he would jump in Ganga. That is one level of Sharanagati. Then there is gopis, when Krishna stole their clothes, that is another level of Sharanagati. There's a topmost practice. And then we see Arjuna, Krishna is telling him to come to the platform of Sarvadharmani Parityaja. So which is the level that a Grihastha neophyte devotee should be aspiring? Like, of course, we cannot think of the gopi standard, but can you please explain me the levels of the Sharanagati?
Well, I don't think you can think about Srivastakur or the gopis or Arjuna. I think you just have to follow what I said. Understand what you need to progress gradually in devotional service. These are pure devotees of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So their manifestations of Sharanagati are really not for you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that means we should not really imitate, as you said in your class, that we should find out our own needs and understanding of how to prosper in our consciousness.
Yes.
But it is always given that Gurudev, like that you have to, you aspire to become a servant of, you know, any of these. So, like, it's hard to explain at a point, but you see what I'm like. It's very difficult to think that what do I need if I don't have somebody to follow, you know, like whom should we think?
Well, there's a difference between following and imitation.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely different. They're actually completely different things. I mean, if I started imitating Prabhupada, it would be a disaster. And we saw people trying to do that. It's an absolute disaster. So following their mood of devotional service is different than imitating their external activities. So what is Srivastakura? Srivastakura's mood is complete surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But as far as his activity of drowning himself unless he got enough to eat, you don't do that.
Definitely not.
And as far as, you know, it's just completely different. It's like apples and oranges, basically.
Mm-hmm.
These are eternally liberated souls. We follow in their mood of service and serve them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
Okay. Okay. One more question because we got a large group here. Maybe we should end now.
Gurudev?
Yeah.
Gurudev, Hare Krishna Gurudev, when the devotees out there in front of you ask questions, we cannot hear those questions. So in future, can you repeat those questions, please? Thank you.
Or in the future, and if I'll repeat the questions, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for reminding me, but it's not often I do this, and also online. Okay. I think we will end now because there is some prasadam. Not for those of you online. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.